China's leader, President Xi Jinping, has been in power for almost a decade and has run the country with an iron fist. So much so, he's earned himself a nickname.
He's earned himself this moniker, chairman of everything among China's policy-making circles. You know, he's taken personal charge of armed forces, national security, foreign policy, domestic politics, ideology, and economy.
That's our colleague Lingling Wei. And she says in recent months, there have been signs that Xi's grip on power has loosened, because the country's economy is faltering.
You're seeing, you know, consumer spending plunging. You're seeing manufacturing suffering. You're seeing, you know, private businesses unwilling to expand and spend. This dramatic slowdown, mostly triggered by the government's policies themselves, you know, is really adding pressure on the top leadership as the go into this very crucial year politically.
And now Xi's economic vision for China is being called into question at a time when he's seeking a third term.
The pressure basically opened a door for some of his rivals or competitors to swoop in and add pressure on him and say, we have to make certain changes to make sure the economy doesn't collapse, to make sure people still have jobs.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, May 16th. Coming up on the show, how China's faltering economy is challenging Xi Jinping's economic agenda.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
For decades, China has walked a line between market forces and state control. And when Xi Jinping became president in 2013, he wanted to change the balance, easing up on capitalist leanings in favor of more state power. And his philosophy goes back to the founding of China's Communist Party by Mao Zedong.
Xi Jinping grew up in the Mao era. You know, he really adores the former chairman, the founding father of the People's Republic of China. For Mao Zedong, capitalism is only a transitory phase on the road to socialism.
Xi's embrace of this model was on display last summer when the Chinese Communist Party celebrated its 100th birthday.
It was really an amazing event to watch. You saw on TV President Xi Jinping basically wearing this Mao suit and standing behind a podium adorned with a hammer and sickle, which is, you know, the symbol of the party. And he pledged to stand for the people. And after the speech, he sang along with this very, socialist kind of song. It's called The Internationale. You know, in China, that song really has traditionally been a feature of the socialist movement and symbolized declaration of war by the working class on capitalism.
Xi's campaign to steer China away from capitalism came through in his slogan, Common Prosperity, which is the idea that wealth in China needs to be redistributed.
It was meant to narrow the gap between the haves and the have-nots in China and make sure income wealth is much more evenly distributed among the general public.
Over the past year, President Xi has done a few things that represented his efforts to promote common prosperity and rein in capitalism.
One was the clampdown on private technology firms. You know, he significantly tightened parties' control over those firms and also put in place legislations and rules restricting the kind of data they can collect, restricting their ability to go overseas to, you know, sell shares.
While Xi was cracking down on tech firms, he also tried to rein in real estate speculation. And he started going after the richest people in China.
You're seeing his government even going after, you know, Hollywood-style celebrities and other entertainers because they made so much more money than ordinary Chinese. In some cases, forcing private entrepreneurs to hand over their fortunes. So it was just really a wholesale effort to try to revamp China's economic model to make it much less Western capitalism style and much more like a socialist country.
And was China's leadership united behind his economic agenda?
The Chinese leadership is very good at presenting a unified message. You know, from outside looking in, you always thought, oh, they're all on the same page. But the truth couldn't be more different.
One person critical of Xi's approach is Li Keqiang. Li is second in command. He became premier when Xi became president.
Premier Li, you know, he's this very affable-looking and bookish guy. And when he first started out as the premier, he really wanted to remake China's credit-driven growth model by, you know, shifting government focus on supporting small and private businesses. He wanted those state companies to slim down and become more efficient. And he obviously also wanted to grow this internet-based sector that include companies such as Alibaba and Tencent.
Traditionally, as premier, Li would be in charge of managing the economy, with the power to enact his ideas of encouraging entrepreneurship. But that didn't happen, because President Xi pushed Li to the margins. Ling Ling says she remembers one story from 2016, when the two men were both in their first term. They each made a presentation on how they would reform China's state-owned sector.
And their messages directly contradict one another. So basically, what Xi Jinping was saying back then was, we must build stronger, better, bigger state companies with a central role for the Communist Party in their management. On the other hand, Li Keqiang was emphasizing the need to slim down state companies and to follow market rules in remaking them. So basically, one is calling on greater control. The other was saying, no, we need to make those companies look like, act like more, you know, commercially viable entities.
Early on, Xi made it clear that he would be in charge of managing China's economy, and Li's embrace of open market principles fell out of favor. But Ling Ling says as the economy has started to show cracks, that dynamic has started to change, and Li is gaining power.
In recent months, his profile has been rising pretty, you know, significantly. You know, he's behind a lot of policy reversals, and now he's staging a comeback of sort.
That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Some big outside forces have been hitting China's economy. There's Russia's war in Ukraine.
China's economy could face sanctions from Europe if it becomes too supportive of Putin over Ukraine.
And then there's China's own struggle with several COVID outbreaks. The country has tried to stop the outbreaks with strict lockdowns.
And this approach in Shanghai has been hugely detrimental to the economy in China, to the people in China.
China had to not only deal with the outbreaks, but also repeating lockdowns. The lockdowns basically have involved confining people to their homes. So that means businesses are closed, schools are closed, restaurants are closed, theaters are closed.
So the economic picture, as you can see here, is not pretty, to say the least.
And on Monday, new data showed consumer spending and factory output tumbled in April, and unemployment rose to a two-year high.
Millions of college graduates in China this year are struggling to find jobs. And also, you have to consider millions of migrant workers and other kind of workers. So the employment situation is very dire for the leadership right now. And this kind of economic weakness, you know, sort of like provided an opening for Li Keqiang to finally put his foot down and say, we can't keep doing what we have been doing. We have to make certain changes.
And the changes that Li Keqiang put in place undid many of Xi Jinping's policies.
He helped get Xi Jinping to dial back some of the measures, including, you know, the crackdown on tech firms and on the real estate speculation and some other areas. Those measures had this effect of damping growth. So he really has led this kind of rear guard action to reverse some of those policies.
And Premier Li has not been shy about doing so. Last month, he made a trip to show support for the country's tech firms.
So the premier made a point of visiting an industrial park populated with e-commerce firms. And that's the exact industry that has been hit very hard by Xi Jinping's campaign. And he stood in front of a crowd of e-commerce executives and their employees. So, you know, he didn't give them a lecture about how bad you guys are. Instead, Li Keqiang promised to reinvigorate their industry and, you know, to promote entrepreneurship. So based on what we were told and also a video recording of the event, what Li Keqiang told the crowd was, we support you, we support entrepreneurs. And he said that to a cheering crowd.
Li's influence has also spread beyond tech.
Based on our conversations with officials and policy advisors in Beijing, China recently has eased this regulatory crackdown on private technology firms, loosened lending to property developers and home buyers, and even, you know, acted to help some manufacturers resume production when much of China has been forced into lockdowns by this very stringent zero COVID policy. So he's been playing some behind-the-scenes roles here to try to make the economy grow again, basically.
And where does this leave Xi Jinping?
I don't want to overstate the importance of his power or the kind of role he's been playing. After all, Xi Jinping still is immensely powerful. But what's different now is it's no longer a one-man show, so to speak. You know, there are other actors who are also kind of emerging.
How is Xi Jinping viewing this sort of resurgence of Li Keqiang?
We have seen that Xi Jinping has had to make some tactical compromises over the economy. You know, because for the Communist Party, you know, the economy really is the area where their legitimacy lies, right? If the economy keeps sinking, basically that would erode the foundation of the communist rule. She's basically agreed to pull back from some of his policies, the campaign he launched over the past year. We don't seem to see this whole common prosperity slogan getting mentioned much in China these days. And we're seeing, you know, the top leadership body publicly signaling a halt to this regulatory crackdown technology firms. So he definitely has had to make some compromises.
And those compromises come as Xi seeks a third term in power later this year and puts together a new leadership team. But that team will not include Li Keqiang, who's stepping down. Lingling says Li is trying to influence the selection of his replacement. And his goal is another premier who would be a counterweight to Xi.
We're going to see if Li Keqiang's efforts pay off or not, or Xi Jinping continues to be this most dominant political force in China and will just become even more dominant and powerful going forward.
That's all for today, Monday, May 16th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.